All right. Everybody there?
Yes.
Yep.
Everybody's
awesome.
Here. Very cool. Well, I hope you guys are having an amazing week for this Easter week. I know it's been beautiful yesterday. It was absolutely gorgeous, a little chilly, but still very pretty. And so just a great week to think on what we're talking about. And it just, I'm sure y'all heard what I was talking about last week, how fitting this week was for it to be Easter week. Right?
Easter week.
Right? I know. I love, and actually Steve calls this Resurrection Week. And I love that because, you know, so often when we say Easter week, we get the Easter bunny and, you know, all the other stuff. And I thought, yeah, that's so true. We really should think of it as Resurrection Week versus Easter week because they have certainly, made it glorified the non-Christian part of this week and this weekend, right? I love the part that he really, in this chapter, really brought it home. I just absolutely loved it. So let's go ahead and dive in. And I love the fact that we were formed for God's family. And what I heard throughout this whole chapter is the Mary Kay world, the Mary Kay world, the Mary Kay world. You know how we are, and I don't want to say battle buddies, but we are backup buddies. Like we are there for each other. We're power partners. We're there to listen. We're there to, you know, I love the fact that when you have a success, that it's double fold. It's twice as good. But when you have a problem, it's cut in half because you share it with your power partner and they help you. That was pretty powerful to me. Like, are we sharing the good so it's twice as good? Or are we only sharing the things we need help with or that are troubling us? Are we truly sharing both? And that really hit me. You know, are we sharing the good and the bad, or just the bad, or just the good? I know I have a tendency to share mainly good. That's just how I was raised. That's me. And that's okay, too. It just depends on you and who you are. I mean, of course, with your closest friends, you do need to have the closest people near you, you do need to have the ability to share all. And that makes a big difference. So, anyway, all right, the first thing that I want to start with is the commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's John 13:34-35. It was so cool. That's the number one reason God wants us, or the number one reason God wants us to love each other is so the world will see our love for each other and wants to become a part of what we have. That is just the description of Christianity. You know, when we truly allow our actions to show we are true Christians, then people want a part of what we have. Same thing with Mary Kay. You know, we talk about the pink bubble, and when they get a glimpse of the pink bubble and see that it's not fake, it is true, it is genuine, they want a piece of that. They want the happiness. They want the excitement, the purpose, the reason to get out of bed every day. And our Christianity brings that to us as well. You know, your purpose for Christ. What are you working for Him? I always, when we first became a unit and we did LOL, I would sign a lot of things with shine bright so the world can see what's inside you and me. And that was so funny this week because I do still sign that if you shine bright enough, the world will see what's inside you of me and they'll want what it is. So they'll ask more questions and you'll be able to share not only about Mary Kay, you'll be able to share your faith as well. And that's the part I love. You can share it however you choose, but it is truly when we criticize and complain, they don't see the good side, the bright side, the shiny side of Christianity. They only see those who complain. And so we have to be careful of that. I also love on 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth. Oh, my goodness. Did this not reiterate Monday night when I shared with your action speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He says it in the Bible. Now I know where it came from. Unbelievable, right? So 1 John 3:18, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth. So your actions are telling others what true Christianity is about. What is that? What are your actions saying? Again, the woman in the car that, you know, was cutting people off, and she got arrested and went to the police station, and the police officer said, well, miss, I'm sorry for arresting you, but we thought it was a case of a stolen car, because with your WWJD and your fish sticker on the back, certainly a Christian wouldn't be doing what you were doing to others. So what are our actions saying? Okay, so others, this was so powerful. I like starred it, highlighted it, beyond. So others' eternal destinies are at stake based on how we show love. Is that not scary? That was scary to me. Mm-hmm. That was like, wow, others' destiny, because based on how we show our Christianity determines how others see it and want it. So if they don't see the good side or the bad side, if they don't see the sisterhood or the group, the Christianity group, they won't want it. And then that's their eternal destiny. I say that a lot with Mary Kay, and I'm sure y'all have heard this in Mary Kay. You know, people that you've met that they would say, oh, I used to be a Mary Kay, but I didn't have a lot of support. And I question that a lot of times. I'll say, oh, really? You know, did you go to meetings? Did you, you know, what did you do in it? Because that really helps. Marcella said it on Monday night. She said, you can't go anywhere in this business without these meetings. It just doesn't work, right?
It's true.
Right. And, you know, just like in Christianity, I feel like so often people feel they can, or just in faith walks as a whole. I'm not going to just say Christianity, but as a whole, people feel like they can walk their own walk and be just as strong spiritually as that person that goes to church on Sunday and is really deep, deep, deep in their church. And I have seen totally different scenarios than that, when that is not the case at all. Because, and that's what he talks about in this chapter, when you have that sisterhood, when you have that group, when you have that that core group you can go to fall back on or to rejoice with, you look forward to it. You look forward to ideas. You look forward to just the upbeat. And sometimes it's not always upbeat. You know, church isn't always upbeat, but it always is with worship. So it's all in how you make it. It's not meant to be upbeat all the time, but it's how you make the church itself. Okay, encourage one another. That's Hebrews 10:25. I would say in Mary Kay, we do a great job of that. And I love the fact that we are able to do that in our business. But do we do it elsewhere? Do we encourage elsewhere? Do we encourage outside of our Mary Kay business? Do we let others know that it's not just, and I shared this on Monday night, when it comes to customer service. You know, do you share with your customers that it's not just about the sale? It's about truly caring about them. It's making sure they're okay. How are their grandchildren? What's going on? You know, all of the above. That's what it's about. It's true caring and loving for one another. The one of the other things that was really, it kind of hit home. I mean, this was like Monday night all over again, and I had not done the studies before Monday night, believe it or not. Open your home to each other without complaining. Oh, my gosh. I will tell you guys that Brenda can attest to this. We did a Bible study, and I hosted it in my house for the first, I don't know, probably three-fourths of it. And I did not complain, but it was a struggle not to. It was a struggle not to go, oh, I got to pick up the house, I got to have the house clean, blah, blah, blah. And we would always make dinner, not that we had to. I just put that on myself that, you know, they were coming and they were probably hungry, so I'd have something made. And I didn't complain about that at all because that was fun. And I got to cook for a lot of women that loved what I cooked, whatever it was. And that was just like, wow, that's cool. But it was, it's hard not to do that, right? It's almost like the world has trained us to complain if we have to do something outside of day in and day out, just the norm. Just like our customers, when we talk about hosting a skincare class, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, I'll have to clean my house. Why do we assume that to be bad? Right? It shouldn't be bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They might want to clean their house. It might be something they desire to do. But we automatically say, oh no, that's okay. You don't need to. We can do blah, 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 blah. No, that's not, we need to just let them talk. That to me was like, oh my goodness, he is really showing me more to my Monday night message. And then when you complain, oh, this was actually in Jesus Calling yesterday. When you complain, you act as if you think you could run the world better than me. Wow, huh?
Mm-hmm.
When you complain, you act as if you can run the world better for me. Isn't that kind of what we're saying? I know some of you guys have heard me say, anything in my day-to-day mentality, you know, day-to-day life and where I am, if I start critiquing, complaining, or correcting in my head, I made the commitment a long time ago, I have to be willing to step up and volunteer to do it. If I'm going to allow myself to criticize, critique, or complain about the situation. Because until I'm in that person's shoes, I won't know the final result. I can look through the glass. I can look from back here to there and see what I would do differently. But I will not allow myself to speak what I can do differently until I am putting myself volunteering for that role. That's why I became an aerobics instructor. Because I was critiquing the instructors. I was like, wow, well, she could do this, she could do that. That's not really a good class, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? No, I made the commitment to myself. If I was going to critique or criticize, then I needed to be willing to step up. So I went and got certified to teach. And boy, did I realize really fast, classes can get old quick, you know, when you do them 3 times a day. Same class. You get bored and you just get in this routine. So before we start complaining, we have to be willing to get in those shoes. And then you have the right to complain, but I guarantee you won't because you're in those shoes, which mm-hmm. was really, I will tell you, that's been very helpful for me in my lifetime, just not complaining because of that. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Of course, this is Rachel's scripture, which I love. And, you know, we need to live by faith. We need to have the blind faith of the child. We need to have the unyielding faith. But so often, we want to see it first. But he's not going to allow us to do that. We have to live by faith. So, and talking about, you know, again, living by faith is the non-complaining, knowing that I'm going to live by faith, not by sight. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to either, if I'm going to complain, I'm going to be willing to step up and do whatever it is I'm complaining about. But, you know, did Jesus complain when he was being beaten?
Mm-mm.
No. When he was being crowned with the thorn, with the thorns, the crown of thorns, did you hear him complain? No, he never complained, not once, not carrying the cross, not when he fell down, not when the people were spitting on him, not when they were mocking him at the base of the cross, none of the above. He never complained. Never. The only thing he said is, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And was that a complaint? No, he was asking why? And the Father responded, so you can take their sins. I take their sins with you. He said, I take their sins with me. So when we complain, it's like he went through all of that for us do we really have a right to complain about anything? Like anything. If you love God, you must love other believers. This was a pretty powerful message in this week. And sometimes it's hard to love other believers. Sometimes it's hard to love in general. If you don't feel loved, it is really hard to love. When you feel loved, it's far easier to love. But so often when you don't feel loved, it's very hard to love. But that is the time you need to love the most. Because when you don't feel loved, yet you love, in the end, you receive love back. And that's when you need it the most. So if you love God, if you love God, you must love others. So I love this. Two are better than one. This is our sisterhood. Two are better than one. I've heard it forever. Two heads are better than one. Everything is better than one, right? And just like I said, if you celebrate with two, it's twice as good. If you solve a problem with two, it's cut in half. The problem is cut in half. So two are better than one. It means come together in a group, not just handle things on your own. Share with those that are close to you, with your battle buddy, with your power partner. Who is that? With your best friend, who is that? So when you serve together, you do your part, but when you suffer together, you share your heart. When you serve together, you do your part as a team, but when you suffer together, you share your heart. If any of you guys, I know most of us all are in a pretty strong church family, and anytime you've lost someone in the family, you know the suffering that takes place there. I think our greatest one for me was when we lost little Cameron. He was our bat boy of our softball team, and he was 6 years old, and he was killed in a car wreck. And that, to me, was probably the hardest thing that I could, and Scott as well, because, you know, we were with him every week, and we just adored him. And that was really hard. That was really, really hard for our congregation to gather and to fathom. But we shared our hearts with that, and we are bonded in that. Those that were on the softball team that went through that together, that we dedicated the team to him the next year, that is a group that will never part from each other because that suffering that they've gone through. If you want to see the description, I say if you want to see the definition of real love in the dictionary, it equals Christ crucifixion. That is unconditional, all-out, real love. Are you willing to do that for somebody you love? I asked myself that question when I was doing this study. It was kind of hard to answer. Am I? Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to give up my life for someone I love? Right? Jesus did. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, love in the sense of not relationships, you know, not necessarily marriages, but, you know, you think about your children. I think about my children, my grandchildren. You know, Christ calls us to do that as a community, as a church, as a group. The other thing that really was impactful to me was that, you know, there's three things that he calls us to do. He calls us to share together, share looks, share conversations, share meals, and share time. Small groups are the teaching grounds for unconditional love. And again, I know Brenda can answer this as well, but when we were doing our small Bible study, and it was only like 7 or 8 ladies that were in the Bible study. It was not big, which we didn't really want it big. It was a really small group. But it was powerful, and it was strong, and we were knit. We were together. We were a small group, and we loved each other unconditionally. If one hurt, we all hurt. And that's what he calls us to do. Worship is the church family. When we come together on Sundays, we worship. But fellowship is the smaller group. So I call our Mary Kay time our fellowship because it's on a smaller scale. But in the end, it's where you get the most. So, you know, deep friendships, if you look into your life and you see deep friendships that you have with women or with people in general, it's a choice. You choose to spend time with that person to have that deep friendship. I know a lot of times, and I know y'all have heard me talk about Dawn, he's my best friend. A lot of people say, oh my gosh, I'm just so jealous I don't have a best friend like that. Like, you guys know each other inside and out. But we choose to spend time together. We choose to go get our nails done. We choose to work out every day. We choose to do things together outside of just working out. Like, she had her niece this week, and so we went to lunch together because she had her niece for the day. We choose to do that. So it is a choice to spend time with someone that you want a deeper friendship with, but you have to sacrifice in order to spend time. And there's the key, is are you willing to sacrifice for a closer relationship? The second thing is we share together, belonging together. That's the group as a church, or as, you know, Mary Kay, belonging together, and then worshiping together. Large groups worship, small groups fellowship. And I loved, he said, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run further. Think about that. When you ever have ran, or when you run with someone, if you ever ran with someone or walked with someone, you base your time on their stride. The girl that led the Bible study with me, Angela, she and I, the reason we even started the Bible study is we started running together. And we started running together because we were at a marriage retreat together. And I made a comment on, man, if I only had, you know, and this is female to female, but I told her, I said, if I only had your butt, man, it is just, holy cow. Now, she's a power lifter, so, you know, she has by far much firmer than any of us, than me, of course. And so that started, it opened a door because, you know, female to female, we don't really often say that. But it opened a door, and she said, are you kidding me? You're so lean. I would die to be lean like that because, you know, the power lifting has really affected my muscle mass. So we chose then to start running together, and we would run together 3 times a week. And that was right as Dawn had moved to St. Louis, so she was never here. And that built a friendship, and then that built went into the small group Bible study, and then. But when we ran alone, we ran a faster time. But when we ran together, we ran further because we paced each other. Angela was fast out of the gate. When we started running, she would put a pace together. I'm like, girlfriend, you got to slow it down or I'm going to pass out. Yet in the end, the endurance that I had, she didn't have. So because we paced each other, running together, we could last. So remember that when you're in a group, okay? It makes a big difference. Walking with others requires to get along with others. You have to compromise. So when you're walking with others, when you're running with others, you have to compromise. You have to learn what compromise is. You have to give a little. You can't be so set on in your ways. And if you are, it's not going to work well. So you in this fellowship, it's a give and take, and you learn that. And I think, you know, the church tries to show us that, but it's so hard to learn that on a large scale like a church environment. You have to get into the small groups in order to learn that. And then living on purpose. So living on purpose, that's really what this takes into. We were created for God's family. He made us because of he wanted us to. There were three things. He wanted us to learn how to love him, learn to love God, learn how to love others, which is fellowship. And, you know, community is God's answer to loneliness. The community he created for us is the answer to loneliness. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Satan uses loneliness to put us in a depression, a depressive state, where we stay away from everybody that loves us, right? Because that's where he knows is his playing ground. Because he knows when more than one are united or together, God's present. And the power is much stronger than with one. So when we miss a meeting, when we don't go to church or whatever, when we miss that fellowship, then we are taking away a piece of sharing with someone else. Steve always says, don't come to church for you. Come to church for someone else that needs to see you here. And that's true. I mean, you get a lot out of it, but it's someone else that needs to see you there. That is the reason you're there. So living on purpose. This week, I want you to think about what could you change in your schedule that would give you more time to build healthy relationships? Is there someone in your life that you would like to get closer with? Is there someone in your life that you feel is would be a strength and an asset to you? Or maybe that you need to be a strength and an asset to? I know I love that since Dawn and I have been running and stuff, you know, she went on a mission trip this year. She had to tell me while I was sitting down because I would have fallen out. I never would have expected that. So who can you benefit by being closer with someone, right? Because it's both. It's not just one way. All right, before I want to open it up to what you guys got out of it and what questions you have, if you have any questions, or one thing that you got out of this week's chapter. Y'all can jump in or I can call names.
This is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
We were on the road yesterday, day before yesterday. We had to go to North Carolina, and I took the CDs with me in the car to listen to the week. And my husband was a captive audience.
Good job.
What it was about. And it was exactly what we needed this week. Exactly.
Awesome.
I mean, we're facing a situation where we've been visiting another church, and my husband just assumed not go to church right now, and some things have happened, and where we're definitely going to switch churches. And it was exactly sitting there talking about, you need the church, you know, you need this and that. And he was like, yeah. And it was just, I was sitting there going the whole time inside going, yes, you know.
Exactly. Score one for God. Woo!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Reaching out and helping my whole family.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. I love that. Who else?
This is Marcella.
Hey, Marcella.
Hi, I had a couple of things.
Good.
One was early on, it's the most common mistake Christians make in worship is seeking an experience rather than seeking God. And the other one is that forgiveness must be immediate, whether or not the person asks for it, but trust is rebuilt over time. And that it isn't about just forgetting about something, that there's a difference between the forgiveness and rebuilding relationship.
That
struck me the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a choice.
So,
you know, unfortunately. I wish God wouldn't have given us our free will of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Be far easier, right? All right. Who else? Brenda, are you where you can talk? Sometimes she has to mute. She's at her desk. Judy, you want to share?
There were a couple of things that caught my eye. I think the thing that knocked me up the side of the head was the point made about the difference between peacemaking and I'm losing it now. But it said that peacemaking is not avoiding conflict and appeasement, but it's to confront the situation immediately, like Marcella said, and resolve it.
Right.
Because we were talking a little bit about that at the meeting the other night, and I've always thought of myself as a peacemaker, but it's because I like to avoid conflict. It's not necessarily because I want to confront a situation and get to the bottom of it. So that
right.
That was an eye-opening. That was an eye-opening chapter for me. The other thing that struck me as I read through the week's lessons was how, and I'm proud of this, and I'm sure we all are, is that our Mary Kay lives this day in and day out, and it allows
mm-hmm.
us to. And that was just so big for me. I know that, but to have it resonate in my mind chapter after chapter after chapter was very meaningful to me.
I agree with that. And, you know, so often I see so many women that are missing that piece
mm-hmm.
of their
mm-hmm.
happiness. And it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's the sorority. It's the sisterhood. It's
mm-hmm.
the loving unconditionally, no matter, and I always say, you know, to new consultants, I don't know, it doesn't matter where you are. If you say you're in Mary Kay, the embrace is going to happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's the joining of, you know, just like when Scott hears somebody graduated from Auburn. It's like, really? What year? You know, it's like, okay. It's that, it's just like that. Even mm-hmm. to a higher scale, because we're with females and we mm-hmm. love it. It's not the competitive, really, you know? So I love that part, too. Very good. Anybody else want to share what they got?
Hey, this is Brenda. I'm back on.
Hey.
The whole chapter kind of reestablished with me the importance of not losing track of relationships and
mm-hmm.
kind of just as a whole. And particularly with church, I go through phases where I really, you know, kind of withdraw and just like, too much is going on here. I just got to back off, you know. and I forget that, you know, like you said, we go to church for what somebody else can see from us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're there not for what we can receive, really, but what somebody else might need. So that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was for me, too, because I do the same thing. I get so wrapped up in everything else going on that, you know, things that I step away from or relationships that I've built in the church that, you know, I don't find time for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it. We need to find time for those. We need to make sure we're making time for those relationships that God's put in our path for a reason. So, totally agree with that. Anybody else want to share a piece? So, living on purpose, again, this week I want you to think about what could you change in your schedule that would give you more time to build healthier relationships? Is there, not watching TV one night because you're going to go to dinner with a girlfriend? I know I took out of this that my girlfriend Angela, like I said, the one that we started the Bible study together, she is a CPA, so she had tax deadlines, but that's now passed. And so I've really lost touch with her over the year. And so my commitment to that is finding a way, either during the day, going to have lunch with her or something, that I can, you know, get that relationship back to even just seeing each other every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, you know, she's gone her way, I've gone mine, and not gone our ways, but we've both been busy schedules. So what are some things that you can change in your schedule? And mine is, you know, on the one or two days I don't go to the gym in the morning, then I'll get up, start working earlier, and then have time in the middle of the day for lunch or for, you know, doing something in the afternoon or evening because I'll have accomplished all day long. So I want you guys to think about that this week. What are some things you can change? Coming to your Monday night meetings is not an option, so I'm going to just put that out there ahead of time, so don't even think about it. Anybody that thought that thought, I just nixed that. but truly, I mean, there's things we can change. Let's think about it. There are things all of us have that we do that cannot be done, that don't necessarily need to be done, that or either we can delegate. So what are some of those things? And then I want to close with this statement, and this was super powerful to me because we've said it in many different ways, And I said it again Monday night with my, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Thanks.
We don't just need to be hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. Are you being a doer of the word? Are you doing what he called, what God calls us to do? Or are you just listening to what he says to do and then still doing what we want to do? In other words, we're practicing, are we practicing what we preach? Are we living out the life that we say we are? Or are we one of those phonies that, as Steve says, Sunday school sissies, those that, you know, go on Sunday and by the time they get home Sunday afternoon, they forgot what they did because they go back to their normal routine? Right? Are we living it out?
Mm-hmm.
So don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. Do something with what you hear this week. And in church and just in general, what God puts on your heart, do something with it. Share it with somebody. Reach out to someone that's on your heart. You know, I have gotten really good. Steve has really implanted in my brain that if God puts somebody on your heart, it's for a reason. Reach out. Don't say you'll do it tomorrow because you might not have that day. I know I share with Dawn. I mean, my girlfriend, her mother-in-law, she had on her heart to take her to Italy, her lifelong dream trip. And they did it this past year because Dawn said, I just have it on my heart. And I'm like, then you need to do it. And they came back, and 3 weeks later, she was gone. Her mother-in-law passed away.
Hmm.
She was so grateful. She followed her heart. She was so grateful. Because she gave her mother-in-law the dream that she had always wanted, but she did not have to live with regret because she was a doer, not a listener. She actually did what God put on her heart. So this week, be open to listen to hear what he's having to say, what he's saying to you, and then be willing to do what it is he's put on your heart. Next week is chapter 22 through 28, so we will talk about that as well. And just be ready because, I mean, I'm telling you, it's just powerful. It gets more and more powerful with each week, and I love it beyond measure. It's, like, amazing how much he brings around in the time that we need it. So you guys have an amazing Easter. Thanks for joining. It was an awesome week, and I just hope you guys have a blessed Easter and really able to focus on what he puts on your heart this week and move it forward to where he wants us to be. So thanks for calling in. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Katie, you too.
Thanks. Bye.